morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Hope your day's off to a strong start. Coming up in our second hour, we'll spend the entire time with Phil Washington, the CEO of LA Metro. When he joins us, we always hear from many listeners who have questions for him about the state of public transit, whether it's bus lines, light rail, or future construction plans for Metro, even the development business they've gotten into with transit-centric projects. We'll talk about all of that coming up in our next hour. So think of those questions that you want to ask Phil Washington as we get closer. But we begin with a story reported by Howard Bloom in the Los Angeles Times that the LA Unified School District is considering a rating scale for public schools as well as the privately run charters that are under the authority of the LA Unified School District. It would score each of the campuses on different criteria. The intent would be to give parents more information to help them decide which campus is best for their kids. Joining us, KPCC education reporter Kyle Stokes. Good morning, Kyle.
Morning, Larry.
So is this something, to your knowledge, been in the works for a while by the district?
This has definitely been in the works for a long time by the district. In fact, the school board, before Superintendent Austin Buettner was hired back in April of 2018, passed a resolution to basically say this is a priority of us, of the school district, to have a rating scale in place. Now, the school board was a very different, kind of group of people at that time. It still included, you know, folks like Ref Rodriguez and a board majority that was backed by the Charter Schools Association. And generally, I think, you know, beyond whatever they feel about charter schools, I think we're more inclined toward ideas like this of having a more summative rating about what the school district, about how well schools are doing. They're sort of that school of thought that you know, quote unquote, education reform is sort of the label that you can apply to the school of thought behind this idea that they set in motion as early as April of 2018.
And would this involve, to your knowledge, a single numeric score that a campus would get, or is this all to be determined?
Well, I'm looking at what Howard Bloom reported in the LA Times, and there are some documents that are also publicly available, you know, outside of the LA Times. And so they're essentially the way that this all works is the crux of what Howard's story is in the LA Times. And the technicalities of this are detailed in some presentations you can find. The essential way that it would work is that schools would be essentially ranked by their test score growth, the growth of their test scores. We can talk about what that means in a second, by the absolute test scores. And also by some school climate measures. So it's your test scores, like your straight up how many students passed the test or did not. Then a more complex measure of how well students improved or did not improve or regressed on those tests. And even that, it's more complicated than just, you know, a straight up, you know, look at the, you know, the pass rate last year and the pass rate this year and, you know, calculate the difference between the two. There's talk of breaking out the growth scores into different subgroups of students like English learners, low-income students, foster youth, doing it by ethnicity as well. So that's a very complicated metric, and I don't want to overstate my knowledge of how that metric is going to work, as well as measures like suspension rates and chronic absenteeism. Those would go into a ranking that would eventually end up with some sort of summative overall kind of scale. The Times reports it as a 1 through 5 scale. There's been talk about a 5-star scale for these schools. And so it's what the story is about in the LA Times is the technicalities of how this all works. And it is all technical. I've done a lot of reporting on this. It's very difficult work.
Well, and to also give a parent a sense of his or her individual child's fit with the school. That's the difficulty. If you have a child with special needs, for example, doesn't necessarily matter what the overall performance of the school is how does the school do with the population that's most like your student who would be attending that campus? Or if you're a parent of a gifted child, what is the gift of, you know, what is the results that you see, or what do students and parents say about that? And you know, I think one of the problems with all this, it's such such a blunt instrument, it doesn't necessarily tell you about how your kid's going to do there.
And that's absolutely a fair, you know, argument to make about these sort of systems. On the other hand, you have to think about the broader context that this is taking place in, where the state recently inaugurated the California School Dashboard, which tried to be the opposite of the blunt instrument, try and democratize all of the school's data so that you can go on to the state website and you can look at, you know, essentially, different breakdowns of how well the school scores related to test scores and how they do related to school climate measures like suspensions, for instance. And there's a whole color rating scale there. And I think what the argument that could be made about that and has been made by a lot of people who support something a little bit easier to understand is that it is too difficult to understand, that there's too much information, that it doesn't come up with a clear mechanism of saying this school is doing well or this school is not doing well. So this is a perennial problem with school rating systems. This has been tried in earnest for decades now at this point, at least since the No Child Left Behind era inaugurated, sort of high stakes ratings for schools. And the entire time, the tension has been between how detailed, technical, sort of, you know, holistic do you make the measurement without making it too difficult to understand.
And how you interpreted the suspension thing is fascinating, because unless you have a child who's apt to be disruptive in class, you don't necessarily care what the suspension rate is, unless you've got a kid who's on the cusp of suspension. If you're a parent, you may be thinking, well, gosh, it has a very low suspension rate. Does that mean that there's disruption in class that doesn't go, discipline where? So again, that would be useful if you have a child that you know could be disruptive in class. You want to keep your child in school and have measures short of suspension. That could be an important metric to use, but not necessarily interpreted by other parents in the same way. I'd love to hear your thoughts as an AirTalk listener. What do you think about trying to score schools in an objective way so that parents have better sources of comparison in choosing one campus over another? I'm also interested in what you think should be the ways that schools are judged. For example, if you're looking at a school for your kid, does the upward trajectory of test scores matter as much as what the test scores are right now? Under at least what these documents Howard Bloom discloses show is that more weight is given to upward trajectory than to current test scores. Would you rate that similarly as a parent, or would you put more weight on current test scores? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also, in this week before school starts in LA Unified, I'd love to hear from those of you that are teachers. How do you think your school should be judged? Are there objective criteria that could be effectively used to judge how well your school is doing? 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, LA Unified School District Board of Education member Kelly Gonez. Ms. Gonez, thank you for being with us. How far along is this process?
Thanks for having me. There have been conversations since the board passed the resolution in April of 2018 with a collaborative and diverse group of stakeholders who met many times over that year. And it's my understanding that staff are still working through some questions about the metrics, because as you and Kyle discussed, there are a lot of complications and technicalities in trying to create a system that is fair and that's also understandable to the public. So my sense is that they're still working through some of those issues, and we will get a better sense of that timeline as to when a system would be relatively complete later in the fall.
And does UTLA, the teachers union, have significant input on developing this system?
Members of UTLA, as well as our other bargaining units, were a part of that working group that met as a result of the resolution for all of last year. So there were members of our labor partners who were represented in that room, as well as educators, administrators, parents, and district staff. So they did have a voice, and I imagine as we get closer to creating a system, we will continue to have conversations with all of our stakeholders to make sure we're getting their feedback at every step of the process.
And beyond putting a numeric rating for campus, are there ways that prospective parents can dig deeper into the data? Because it would seem to me if there's a way the district can set up an even deeper dive beyond a top-line score, that might be of value to parents to be able to go through and look at some of the other performance aspects of a campus.
So I think the idea is that while there might be some sort of overall sense of how a school is doing as part of the school performance framework, that there would be a way to break out some of these composite measures. So to get a sense on socio-emotionally, how are students doing, to get a sense academically, how are students are doing, what is the school climate like? And I think ideally, eventually, also include things like feedback, surveys from parents and staff about how they feel about the school would be included in that system. But I do, Larry, just want to push back a little bit about the framing. This isn't, if you read the resolution, it's about a focus on continuous improvement. How do we help ensure that all of our schools are getting better? Of course, part of that is making sure that parents and our community members have a good and transparent sense of how schools are doing and how they can support that work of continuous improvement. But it's also about putting the onus on ourselves as district leaders, making sure that we are sending supports and resources to where they are most needed and that we are focusing on our schools that most need support. I don't think that has historically been the case. We know that oftentimes schools have struggled, and the resources and supports may often be determined by how loud a particular community or parents are about what they need. And that, unfortunately, historically has negatively impacted sometimes communities of color and low-income communities who aren't getting the same supports and resources, even though we know their children have needs. And so I think this is also about guiding the district's decisions to make sure that we are holding ourselves as leaders accountable to make sure that we are helping our schools most in need and helping those students and the teachers and principals working hard in those schools get the supports and resources they need to best
right.
students.
We're talking with Kelly Gonez, LA Unified School District Board of Education member. You'd mentioned some of the objective ways of measurement, what parents think of the teaching staff or administration of their local school. And I'm just wondering how systematized is that? Can a prospective parent look and see what students and students and parents think about a teaching staff or administration at each school of the district? That kind of survey result widely available.
Again, to correct you, because I think it's important to be precise here. It's not a, you know, parents aren't giving feedback about particular teachers or principals. That's not objective, could be biased, and not at all something that we would want to make public and that we would include in this. We currently have throughout the school district an annual school experience survey that parents, as well as students and staff, all complete. And parents, staff, and students are giving us feedback through that survey at all campuses on things like, how safe do you feel at your school? How happy do you feel at your school? Do you feel like you have a positive relationship with an adult, with your peers? And then staff can also give feedback on their feelings of safety and belonging at a school. So we think that an instrument like a survey, which we already have, as I said, we're already administering that district-wide, could help us get a better sense of some of those intangibles, which we know can't be quantified with things like a test score, but we know are also important in terms of how you evaluate the quality of a school.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, that you wouldn't want to be publicly releasing what students and parents think about a specific teacher, but couldn't you have public release for a campus generally what students and parents think of the performance of the teaching staff and administration? Would that be a problem to release that?
I think that could have some serious unintended consequences. And I think again, we have to think about what's the purpose, right? The purpose is to make sure that all schools are serving children well. The purpose is not to be punitive and to place blame or as you know, you all were talking about, to be a blunt instrument that is harmful to, again, teachers and principals who are working hard on the ground every day to support kids. The goal is for us as a district and also for the broader community to have a sense of how our schools are doing and how we can make sure that all schools are helping kids be prepared for college, career, and life. I think that's why we would want to focus on the more quantitative measures when we think about academic performance, like our English learner reclassification rates, like graduation rates. But when we think about things like socio-emotional belonging, when we think about safety, that's where those more qualitative measures are important and could help provide a more holistic picture of school quality.
We'll continue our conversation with LA Unified School District Board Member Kelly Gonez, Kyle Stokes, KPCC Education Reporter, but I really would like to hear from you. If you're a parent of a public school student, either at a charter or district-operated school, if you're a teacher working in a district or a charter school, what do you think about having objective criteria for a rating, a scale that schools would have to help parents decide which schools that their kids would be a best fit for, and also to help the district with allocation of its resources? 866-893-KPCC. Back in 1 minute. Listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up a little bit later this hour, participation in high school football has declined year after year. We're going to talk about the reasons behind that, what students are doing instead of participating in or going to their high school football games. That's just ahead on Air Talk. Right now, we're talking about LA Unified's efforts to come up with an objective assessment of each of its schools, as well as the charter schools operated within the district, that would give a sense of what their test scores look like, how their test scores are improving over time, would allow also for more transparency as to what the suspension rates are of students attending the school, other criteria. What do you think of that? And what do you think should be the criteria used to make that assessment of the performance of a school? 866-893-KPCC. Michael in Windsor Hills in Southwest LA, you're on Air Talk.
Hi, Larry. I'm a husband to my wife has been a teacher and school leader in charter and public schools. And the point here is about trajectory versus absolute test scores. She's been a part of a number of turnaround efforts. And what we've noticed is that trajectory is always higher at very low performing schools. And that trajectory is not necessarily guaranteed, especially with high school leader and teacher turnover at those schools. So I have the feeling that trajectory is not nearly as important as the absolute score. And as a parent to be, I would be looking at absolute scores rather than trajectory.
So the trajectory, if I'm understanding you, you'd have a year potentially where you'd show very high growth in test scores, and so then your kids would enter the school sort of, you bet that trajectory would continue, but there's no guarantee of it because of turnover.
Exactly. And so, for instance, at one school she taught at, they had a growth of 94 API points, which is a huge amount of growth, but the absolute score was very low. The next year, they had turnovers of principals and key leadership, and the API trajectory, it's very hard to get 94 points of trajectory 2 years in a row, but also that trajectory, I'm not exactly sure what the exact score increase was, but it wasn't nearly as high.
All right. I appreciate it, Michael. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. LAUSD board member Kelly Gonez, you want to talk about why trajectory is given a higher percentage of prominence in the rating system than current test scores?
I'd be happy to. And I think the way I would describe this is focusing on student growth and student progress. What we know is that historically, when we are just looking at absolute achievement at test scores, that can often be skewed by the opportunity gaps that we know that low-income students often face, whether that's disparate access to early childhood education, trauma that they may experience living at home in their communities, et cetera, and isn't really a fair measure of the quality of schools. That's why I think that growth is a much fairer way of assessing school quality, because we're looking at, from whatever starting point they're at, how are students progressing at a particular school? Simply looking at absolute test scores is biased and will give credit to schools where students are already coming in at a high level, which might not be attributed to anything that's happening at a particular school, but is simply a fact of the specific population that a school is serving. I have an example of a school in my district where historically they have been labeled as a failing school, but they are receiving students who are coming in several grade levels behind. And those students are actually growing at a much faster rate than we see at other schools. Their kids are growing one reading level in 6 months versus the traditional trajectory, which is more like one grade level per year. That kind of school should get credit for and should be celebrated for the progress that they're making, rather than being denigrated as they have been in the past.
And do those sorts of upward trends, do they typically continue over longer term to where you see those schools catching up with schools that have less challenged student bodies?
Yeah, I think we certainly have examples of that. And I think that sort of growth mindset is what we want to encourage to happen more broadly throughout the district.
Alicia in Echo Park says, I'm a teacher at a private high school, but used to be a public school teacher in San Francisco. I think it would be better to measure students' sense of well-being directly related to how students are treated at the school. It's a much better measure of a school. That sort of gets to the, you know, kind of subjective analysis I was talking about with feedback from students and parents. That, for me, would be significant as a parent looking at a school as to, you know, how those that are there feel about the experience. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Kyle, we were hearing from Ms. Gomez about how this can be used to allocate resources to schools that are not rated as highly, that have greater challenges. Is there a potential downside to that?
Yeah, the sort of, and to, you know, obviously take as a given that Board Member Gomez is saying we don't want to create a system that is punitive. In the past, when I started my education reporting career, I started it in Indiana, and they created an A through F grading scale for schools, and the schools that got Fs, you can say give extra resources to. Well, what they did in Indiana was they gave extra resources, and then if that didn't cause a change, then that school was taken over by the state or had some other drastic intervention. And I think a lot of people, you know, in Indiana would make the argument that that was not what those schools needed. What those schools needed was sustained support, more funding, and things like that. The other instructive experience that I have from covering the school rating system that is, you know, in Indiana was that there was a similar effort to emphasize the weighting of growth measures. And the state education officials in Indiana, actually, there was a school that they sort of used as the avatar and said, this is what we want all schools in the state to look like. Well, they put a growth measure into the A through F grading scale there. Again, not what's being proposed in LAUSD, but what they had in Indiana at the time. And when the state of Indiana tried to measure growth, that school got a C. And they were like, whoa, that's not what we want at all. We like this school. We want them to get an A. And so they fiddled with the sort of tinkered under the hood of the rating scale, and they ended up getting an A. So I think, I'm sort of flagging here some of the concerns that have been raised here before is that, you know, there are, you know, on one hand, you don't want to continue to, you know, credit schools who are going to get 94% of their kids passing tests, you know, into perpetuity. You don't want to design a rating system that does that. That doesn't do anything for a school district like LAUSD. On the other hand, how you measure growth, these little very, very fine statistical, technical changes can have a big change in how these ratings turn out. And then it raises the question, is it fair to compare one school's rating to another?
We reached out to the charter Charter School Association here in California, and they were not able to join us in the conversation. But Kelly Gonez, LAUSD school board member, have the charters weighed in on this at all? Are they represented in this process, and have they expressed any concerns about having a rating attached to their campuses?
Well, I think they were included as part of that working group that I alluded to before that met many times last year to get their feedback, because obviously there are particular issues related to charter schools and their renewals that those details need to be thought through. I haven't consulted with them, so I don't know if they have particular concerns. I think that there is a question about to what extent the school performance framework could factor into renewals in future years. Right now, when we look at a charter school that is up for renewal every 5 years, we just look at absolute test scores as compared to resident schools, so schools in that local neighborhood. And I think there's often been discussion at the board about how the fact that that's not really a high standard of success, because you could have a neighborhood school where 8% of kids are meeting and exceeding the standard in math, and at the charter school, 9% of the kids are meeting and exceeding in math, and that charter school is renewed. For my colleagues, I've heard that that doesn't really feel like a super successful school. And so I think that this has the potential to be a more ambitious measure of success for those schools. But of course, we have to think through the implementation of that, as well as how that aligns with the legal requirements that are set by the state.
Steve in North Hollywood says, I work with charter schools. Charters are already evaluated by LA Unified on a 4-point rubric, both on a financial and academic level. I think it's about time LAUSD evaluates its district-run schools on the same level. My question is, who will be evaluating? Will it be objective and independent? Ms. Gonez?
So the framework, like I said, was some guiding posts were laid out in a resolution passed by the board a year and a half ago now. But this diverse working group were the ones who laid out the specifics, and ultimately it will fall under the superintendent's shop to administer. But it is one uniform framework for all schools, and so there isn't an evaluator per se. It is a framework that has been developed that will be applied consistently to all schools, including independent charter schools.
Evelyn in Reseda says, I'm a parent of a 10th grader attending an LA Unified school, and I would love to see this growth over time metric. It would help my child, and it would help me see how the school is doing overall. Evelyn, I appreciate that very much. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Brian comments on the AirTalk Facebook page. It's awful. With the exception of some high-performing charter schools, you can pretty much tie a school's ranking to the average household income of its students. Mm. There always has been and always will be a direct correlation between the two. Rankings only help give higher socioeconomic schools another feather in their cap. That's Brian commenting on the Facebook page for AirTalk.
That's absolutely a rub here. With all test scores, and I think that it does go to a challenge here. I mean, you want to create a system to prioritize as a school administrator where resources go. On the other hand, the question is how punitive do they become, and can you compare the ratings of one school to another? That's obviously, you know, what the intention is of this here. It's very, very hard to do this and do it with sensitivity.
All right, Kyle Stokes, KPCC Education Reporter. Thank you for joining us to talk about this story. Howard Bloom in the LA Times writing about LA Unified coming up with its rating system for district operated as well as charter schools within LA Unified. And our thanks to LA school board member Kelly Gonez as well. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, the decline of high school participation in football. What are the factors behind it? Have we already reached peak football? What does it mean for other sports as well? We'll hear on that right after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdies.